Welcome to the Taming Tribulation Podcast. I am your host, Wyatt Hammond.
And I'm the co-host, Jeremy Crossley.
In this season, we are using biblical stories about trials and tribulations that characters have gone through, how they confronted them and overcame their own personal obstacles, so they can become the people that God uses for his purpose. Not perfect people, but imperfect people being used to do his will.
Our intention with these stories is to pass on to the listener the understanding that God uses the hardest and most difficult moments in our lives to refine us into the people we were meant to be.
By listening to these stories, we hope that you can be encouraged to see where God can use your tribulations for his purpose. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Taming Tribulation. Today, we are starting with Genesis 40, and before we jump into that chapter, we will give you a bit of a recap of where we left off in our last episode. So where we left off in Genesis 39 is Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and put into the house of the captain of the guard as a slave. And the captain of the guard wife tried to get Joseph to sleep with her over and over again. Joseph, being a man of God, kept on refusing, saying, I can't take the one thing from my master that he has forbidden me to take, which is his wife. So he kept turning her down. And eventually she tried to physically throw herself on him. And as he ran out of the room, she grabbed his cloak. And when she found other people, she told the others that Joseph had tried to rape her, and that's why she had his cloak, obviously lying to make him look bad. So when the captain of the guard came home, Potiphar's wife, the captain of the guard, told him that Joseph had tried to rape her. The captain of the guard obviously did not like that and threw Joseph in prison. So where we are in this part of the story is Genesis 40. Joseph is an innocent man in prison after being sold into slavery and lied about. Obviously, these would be dark times for anybody. I've never been in prison as an innocent or a guilty man, but I'd imagine it's far worse being imprisoned innocent than it is being guilty.
I definitely agree. I think, the only light within Joseph being in prison is that the warden favored him, right? So it's definitely better. It's still crappy because he's innocent, but it's better. And I think Joseph soon comes to acknowledge like it could always be worse. But yeah, it definitely would be crappy to be wrongfully convicted.
It seems like every time in this story that Joseph gets a break, something bad happens right after it, right? And or even after, in this situation, he makes the right choice and doesn't sleep with Potiphar's wife. Makes the right godly choice, but then is seemingly punished for it, right? And
yeah,
it kind of to human nature goes against the way we think things should go in the God world. But it's often the way that we think things should go. That's not the way it happens, right? So
yeah,
because we do the right thing, it doesn't mean good things will always happen right away. Sometimes it takes time, and that's what we're seeing in the story here.
Well, yeah, a lot of people think that just because you're a believer, everything will be prosperous and great. And it just doesn't work like that. And, you know, anyone who claims to say the same thing is extremely wrong. Yeah. It's a life of sacrifice, not a life of glory and glamorous treasures.
Yeah.
If you're living a life of glory and glamorous treasures, you're probably doing something different, or, you know, you got a really good inheritance.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Okay, so starting in Genesis 40, moving on with the story of Joseph, the cupbearer and the baker. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in the master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered. "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the lands of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Now, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So at this point in the story, Joseph is in prison. He has two men come and join him in the prison. One is the chief baker of Pharaoh, and one is the cupbearer of Pharaoh. And both these men insulted Pharaoh somehow. We don't know how. Doesn't tell us. But I would imagine it wouldn't take too much to offend Pharaoh to get yourself thrown in prison at that point in time, when there's no limit of other cupbearers or people that can pour cups. It's like you just pour it the wrong way and suddenly you're thrown in prison. I don't know what offense these guys committed, but I wouldn't imagine it was too heinous. So when Joseph sees that these two guys are dejected and sad one morning and asks them why, even that seems like a unique character trait of maybe Joseph, where it's like, I can imagine myself in prison being there innocently, and you see two other sad guys. You're like, who cares why they're sad? Like, there's no way their situation is worse than mine, right? They should be asking me why I'm sad.
Yeah, no, I think it defines his character, right? And who he is. Like, he's easy. He can recognize other people and where they're at. He meets people where they're at. He can assess people. He could just read people, right? Very insightful. And I think right there, like you said, anybody could have a reason to just mope while in jail and really just focus on whatever they got to focus on. But Joseph's like, I'm going to do my best to still play some sort of part in jail. Yeah, and he saw these two dudes. I'm sure maybe he would have known who they were. I don't know. I mean, the chief baker, he's like, okay, yeah, he probably makes the Pharaoh's gourmet meals. And then the cupbearer, I think, if I'm wrong, maybe the cupbearer, I think, is literally like follows around the Pharaoh everywhere he goes and literally just like gets his cup, gets his drink. He's pretty much like his personal like peasant. and so like these are semi-important people. He comes in, he's like, what's going on, guys? Like, how are you guys doing? That act alone is different than what other people would, you know, normally do. So I think that just defines his character right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And was he actually just trying to make these guys feel better? Like, he sees two guys in prison and they're just sad, and he's just like, hey guys, what's wrong? And, you know, just trying to be a good guy, and then finds out that they have these dreams and thinks he can interpret it for them. It's like as you're reading the story, it all seems like Joseph knew what the next step was every time, where he's like, I'm gonna ask these guys. Like, I'm not saying that is the case. I'm just saying to the reader, that's what it feels like. Obviously, knowing he didn't know what was going to happen next, but that he would be like, I'm going to ask these guys how their day was so that I can interpret their dreams, and then they can see how smart I am, and then I can get to Pharaoh. But it's like he wasn't strategizing through all this, right? It was just like one step at a time, and God kept using these events to bring him closer to the end goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think his intention was to get something out of it. I think, because, I mean, it's not like he had TV to watch or something, so he's probably just sitting there and there are other people in jail with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like anybody who's ever been in a, you know, any environment where it's jail or there's only so much stuff you can do. So just engage conversation with people. And I think that's why a lot of people in jail find God mm-hmm. because they read their Bible. That's the only literature they have in some jails. So I think that's just another case of like, hey, let me just talk to these dudes. And then maybe he recognized who they were. But I think in this situation, they didn't know how long they were going to be there for. You know, they could have been there for 10 years. They could have been there for 2 days. So, but I think the important part about this too is to like assess, like, why does Joseph have the ability to interpret dreams? Mm. Because if you read, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts is to interpret dreams. Like the older men will interpret dreams, right? And it's like, ask the question, like, so Joseph had that spirit gift to interpret dreams, which is interesting, I thought. So I wonder, like, out of all the things he had, this was his gift, or he could get, this was his gift. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Used, like, it's a good lesson for, using your gift whenever you get the chance, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, right? And that he's like, hey, you guys had dreams. I can interpret those dreams, having no idea what series of events is that's going to lead to, right? But if you have this gift, whatever it is, and you have an opportunity to use it, even if you're not getting anything in return, and you don't take it, well, now you're losing every possible outcome that could have happened if you had, right? And if he had been sitting in the jail and heard these and saw these two dejected guys and just thought, well, yeah, no doubt, we're in prison, of course we're sad, right? Like I don't need to ask them why we're locked in a cell.
Yeah,
it's pretty self-explanatory. But for him to go to the point to be like, I have a gift of being able to help people and speak to people and understand them, so let me ask these guys why they're sad. And so yeah, it's a good reminder to use the gifts you're given while you can, and take every opportunity you have, even if there's not a immediate benefit to you, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, I think people need to identify what gifts they actually possess, mm-hmm. right? Not many people even know what they're capable of doing because they haven't been brought to a level where they can actually figure out what gifts they have. You know, depending on which age, but like, I think your experiences can identify what gifts you actually can attain and possess. And then, like you said, just look for opportunities where you can share that gift with people. I mean, I'm sure you could think of a few things that you're good at, or the gifts that have been given to you, and you can just be like, oh yeah, I can do this, this, and that, right? I think a lot of people are more critical than they are not about themselves. I mean, I'm just saying this because I am for myself. Instead of looking at the gifts that I possess, I mainly criticize the things I don't.
Right.
I'm not gifted in. And it's a shift of perception. And I think a lot of the times we learn, there's a lot of shifting going on, a shift in our mentality, or in just in the story, there's a lot of shifting. Like I've noticed at least 4 different times now, just a shift in mentality when it comes to really crappy situations. It's not, oh, I'm in a crappy situation. It's, I'm going to shift it so that in this crappy situation, what am I going to do about it? And it's that taking responsibility mentality rather than the victim type mentality I think we've talked about before. All that's a shift. Yeah, I think that's a really good lesson to harp on is what gifts do we possess? And do you think we have the ability to take our gifts and use them in all opportunities? And if not, how can we make the attempt to use our gifts in all opportunities?
Yeah. Even in situations where you truly are the victim, right? Like there's no argument that Joseph is a victim in all this, right? But he's not playing that card.
Yeah,
he didn't get to the captain of the guard's house and think, oh my gosh, I can't believe my life is so hard. I just got sold in slavery. And then the wife starts coming on to him, and he thinks, hey, I caught a break. I get to sleep with this cute woman. Even then he's like, okay, no, I'm in a crappy situation. I'm a victim by being here, but I'm still going to do the right thing. Even if I was put in an impossible situation. So he still does the right thing by not sleeping with her, gets put in prison, is even victimized even more, and still then uses that opportunity to use his gifts. Yeah. Right. And doesn't just say, oh my gosh, every time I do something right, I just get screwed over more. Right. I go to find and help my brothers. I get sold into slavery. Don't sleep with this woman. Do the right thing. I get put in prison. Now what? Like, you know, obviously I'm just being screwed at every turn. So why would I keep doing what's right if every time I do it, it just turns out badly? Obviously not knowing where this story ends up, right? And I'm not going to give anything away to the listener, but there's a reason we're reading this story, and it's not because Joseph dies a sad, pathetic death. So we're looking at all the places where you have where you can just say, I'm a victim here, and I'm going to use that, but instead you say, yes, I'm in a bad situation, but what can I do to make it better for others, and use my gifts while I'm here? So that's a really, really great point, Jeremy.
Yeah. Even if he had that mentality of I'm a victim, he clearly didn't act it out. If he did, it wasn't written down. But like, because it's okay to feel like, oh, crap, I got a poopy stick right here. Yeah. But like, how are you going to respond to that poopy situation, right? And I think being able to just say, hey, like, yeah, this does stink, but am I going to stay here? Am I going to grow? And sometimes it takes some people, it takes a little longer than others, but he clearly found the ability to like use his gifts. You know, I noticed a lot of times we've talked about when people feel down and, you know, isolated and separate, you know, actually getting up and like involving yourself, using whatever gifts you have to, like, even if you're feeling crappy at that day, but still being able to pour into someone else makes you feel better because you're helping someone else. And I don't care what anyone says. I know for a fact it feels a lot better to help someone else than to continuously only help yourself. Mm-hmm. You feel like you have some sort of worth and value. So I think anyone who's listening, like, figure out, maybe take some practicals, figure out what gifts you have, write them down, and look for opportunities where you can use these gifts. Literally write down, like, you know, I have the ability to encourage people or whatever. And how many different ways can I encourage people? How many people can I encourage today? Stuff like that. Like give a phone call to someone you haven't spoken to or something like that. And just say, hey, man, I was just thinking about you. I hope you're doing well. Like, see how well you feel after the fact.
Well, and you just don't know what the end result is, right? Like that's the point we're making, is that he's using his abilities and gifts in this position while he's in prison, not knowing that this is going to turn into something far greater, right? He thinks it's just like, okay, I'm in prison and I have an opportunity to help these two guys. But if you are thinking, okay, yeah, how can I encourage someone today? That's great. That's the first step. But you don't know what the long-term result of that will be. You using the gifts that you were given, you don't know how far that chain can go.
Yeah. I mean, look at the outcome of what happened to him. You know, like, I can imagine just in the end of this, when he talks about the actual dreams itself, like any one of us would look at these dreams and be like, what the heck does that even mean? Like, how did he figure that out? He just had the ability to do it. You know, he had the power. And in these things, like, he told one guy, like, hey, you're going to be good. Right. Mm. And then what did he tell the other guy? What did he tell the baker?
You're going to be impaled on a pole.
You're going to be impaled on a pole, dude. Like, it's not good news. He didn't lie to him. He didn't.
Yeah.
He told him straight out. It's like, dude, your time's coming up in 3 days. Yeah. And maybe the guy believed him. Maybe he didn't. You know, I can imagine these guys being extremely, like, cynical. And like doubting this guy.
Yeah, well, I would just think, well, I'm in prison. This guy's probably nuts. right? Yeah. Like, you probably never met somebody that can interpret dreams. So somebody does, and they tell you you're going to be impaled on a pole. You'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. I could have a goose tell me the same thing, and it would mean just as much, right? Like,
yeah. And I think, and even he's sitting here, that's hard news to deliver, right? But he did it anyways because he knew it was the right thing to do. He still used his gifts, even when someone could doubt his ability to actually, you know, interpret the dream.
Yeah.
So I think it just shows, like, not to be afraid to tell people the hard truth, even when it's staring at you in the face, because it might actually help someone. This guy, it helped one and didn't help the other. At least he knew when he was going to die, I guess.
Yeah.
I can imagine the last thought he had was, oh, he was right as to he's being impaled by a pole.
Right. So. Yeah. Hey, what do you know? It's 3 days.
Yeah. Look at that.
So, yeah. Well, okay. So that's a great place to end this one off. And I just want to explain to the reader that if you want to go deeper into the theological depths of these dreams and stuff, you should go ahead and do that. But Jeremy and I are taking all this stuff and trying to put it into our real lives, and so going deep into the dreams and all that we won't do right now, so go and do that on your own, but we hope you enjoyed this episode, and thanks for listening to Taming Tribulation, everybody.